started here. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 12. Now remember, we're studying Romans chapter 4, and we went through verse 15 last time. We'll finish the chapter this morning. Therefore, it is of faith, Romans 4:16, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise. Everybody say promise?
Promise.
The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Okay, now Genesis chapter 12, excuse me, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now chapter 13, beginning at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. No, that's not right. Yes, it is too. And look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And by the way, that has been completely fulfilled. And I can prove that. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Chapter 15 and verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, say, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I, the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with me, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. In other words, the effects of the covenant would be everlasting. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. You heard Jesus talk about the daughters of Abraham? Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. He was named before he was born. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful. I have to curse somebody else to bless you. Well, I tell you, so many people think that God's got to hurt somebody else to help you or curse somebody else to bless you. No, I've had to do a lot of counseling and arbitrate in feelings and arguments between people, and I have found that my God is big enough to bless both parties. Both parties can come out of an argument blessed of God if they both repent and both get right with God. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of a God we're serving. Amen. Multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Now turn to Genesis chapter 22. So we have to do a little reading to set a little foundation for what we have to read from Paul in Romans 4 today. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or tried, tested Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. You often wonder how much Abraham knew. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's why we sing that chorus, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. God made an oath. He interposed himself between himself and his promise. God places himself in jeopardy. He says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
Wow.
Back to Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. We read Genesis 12, 13, 15, 17, and 22 now, because we were reiterating that promise over and over again in your hearing. Because thou hast obeyed my voice, praise the Lord, the promise that God gave to him was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, therefore it is of faith, this is where we begin today, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise. Say promise.
Promise.
God's made us some promises. Amen?
Amen.
How many have received the promise of the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
It's promised to
Amen.
You. We need the faith of Abraham. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, not just the Jewish nation, not just the Hebrew people, no, not just his natural seed through Sarah, no, but he's the father of us all, as it is written. That's why we're going back to Genesis 12, 13, 15, 17, and 22. As it is written in Genesis 12, 13, 15, 17, and 22. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, not just one nation. Not just Israel, not just the Jews. I have made thee a father of many nations.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I love that.
Amen.
To the Jew, to the Greek, that's you, that's me. Praise the Lord. Sing it, Brother Don. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who but God can do that? Who against hope believed in hope, excuse me, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. It is written. It's been spoken. It's written. It's spoken. It's established. So shall thy seed be. And Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen.
And therefore, because of what we just read, and therefore, because of what Abraham did, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I'll tell you, faith, real faith, genuine faith, true faith, has a payday, a big payday. Can you imagine having the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His perfect holy record put on your account? Your record of sin taken, crumbled up, thrown in the basket, burned, destroyed, obliterated, eradicated, washed away, and then imputed to you, gave to you, put on your account His righteousness. In fact, that's the only way any man can be saved. Praise the Lord. Through faith. Amen. By grace are ye saved through faith. Hallelujah. Excuse me. He staggered not at the promise of God. So in verse 13, the promise. Verse 14, the promise. Verse 16, the promise. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Praise the Lord. Love that. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 for a moment. Something there that I think we need to understand in conjunction with this lesson. Excuse me. Galatians chapter 3. We'll probably come back and read the whole chapter, but right now, just skip the first few words just for clarification, understanding, and my point here. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, right here, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul the covenant, the promise, that it should make the promise of none effect. Okay? In Genesis 12, the chronologists say the year was 1921 B.C. And in Genesis 20, the year was when the law was given, or Exodus 20, when the law was given, is 1491 B.C. There is a difference there of 430 years. I want you to understand that, because when you read Galatians 3:17, you must needs understand this. When the promise was given, it was 1921 years B.C. When the law was given, it was 1491 years B.C. In other words, the law was given 430 years after the promise. So something coming after cannot disannul a promise that was given before. See, that's what he's saying here.
Amen.
The law, which was 430 years after the promise was given, cannot disannul that promise, that it should make that promise of none effect. So the promise is good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Of course, somewhere in here, right here, verse 19, he says, well, wherefore then serveth the law? He says it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Oh, praise the Lord.
God.
What's Paul's point? Paul's point is in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, which it is not, For if the inheritance be of the law, Paul says, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Ooh, this is a wonderful salvation. Praise the Lord. Something that we dare not overlook. When God made that promise to Abraham, the world was not. Hear me. When God made that promise to Abraham, the world at that time was not divided into Jew and Gentile.
Amen.
So why don't we just kind of, enjoy the fulfillment of the promise? And let's not make that distinction between Jew and Gentile.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There is neither Jew nor Greek in Christ.
Amen.
The promise has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. And Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They may have been first, but we are not excluded. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. We have a lot more to say on this. Okay? So Paul's point is, if the inheritance be of the law, it cannot be of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
There's neither male nor female. There goes circumcision. Right? And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Not according to the law.
Praise God.
Not according to natural seed. No, but according to the promise. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, the conclusion is drawn. Salvation from sin through faith is available to the whole world.
Hallelujah.
Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me to the whole world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, people have asked me, sometimes, I didn't feel led to witness to him. Somebody said, you better get the lead out, because you are to witness to everybody. Witness to everybody. Salvation from sin through faith is available to the whole world. Go preach the gospel to every creature you feel led to talk to. No, it doesn't say that. This wonderful gospel is available to everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Romans 4:16 again. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, not just Israel. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have a wonderful salvation. We have a marvelous salvation.
Amen.
That it might be by grace. What does that mean in verse 16? That it might be by grace. I think it means as opposed to any other method of salvation, any other attempt to be saved. That it might be, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. And grace says, whosoever will may come. Boy, the Pentecostals are going to be surprised. Oh, any Baptist who makes it, any Catholic who makes it, any Methodist who, oh, they're going to be surprised when they get to heaven. They find out that there's other people outside of their organization that are there. Well, Abraham's going to be there. He wasn't UPC.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What did God promise Abraham? And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was God's promise to Abraham. What was God's promise to Abraham dependent on? Well, a little more involved here than just, okay, hearing a voice from heaven. What was God's promise to Abram dependent upon? Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee up out of thy country. Now, we heard a good message on that Friday night. How many heard Brother Richie here Friday night talk on that? I appreciated that. I think that Abraham's obedience, the Bible says this, Abraham's obedience of leaving his country, leaving his kindred, leaving his father's house, and going to the land that the Lord would show him. And he went out, Hebrews tells us, not knowing whither he went. You talk about faith. God said, get up and go. We would say, well, where am I going, Lord? Will I need my summer clothes or my winter clothes? Or how many sets of this should I take along? Come, I don't think I'll leave, Lord, till I get a little more direction. Not Abraham. The Lord said, get up and go, and he just went. Yeah. He just went, not knowing whither he would go, whether he went. He didn't know. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. I think some people come into Pentecost not knowing what they're getting into. You know, but if they'll just keep the faith, they'll love it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because it's God that called them into this movement. Amen. Amen. Just stick with it. The Lord takes us a day at a time. We'll get into that. We'll get into chapter 22 here again in a minute. But I asked, what did God promise Abraham? And what did God's promise to Abram or Abraham, what was it dependent on? And then I'd like to say that God's promises are conditional. You just notice that when you read the Bible. He says if so many times. You read Deuteronomy 28. It says if. His blessings are conditional. The curses are conditional. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do that, this is what's going to happen. Read Deuteronomy 28. That's what David Wilkerson's preaching on in that tape, Deuteronomy 28. He does a good job applying it biblically, I believe. God's promises are conditional. I think that you and I can relate to Abraham's call. Call out of Ur of the Chaldees. Hasn't the Lord called us out of the world? Hasn't the Lord called us away from our families? Except a man leave? Father and mother and relatives and so on. How many of you, dear saints here, have almost been estranged by your families because you have come here? Sure, look at that. Look at the hands go up all over this place. Right. They don't understand you. They didn't hear.
Praise the Lord.
You heard.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful.
And as long as you understand what God's saying, that's what's important. Amen. Praise the Lord. I laud you this morning for your zeal for God in coming out of Ur of the Chaldees and coming out of your house and so on, separating yourself unto God. I think we can relate to Abraham's call. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Maybe you're family won't receive you anymore, but he says, I will receive you. He said, you come out. You may be rejected and ridiculed by them, but I will receive you. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Precious. Praise the Lord. So when you come out, like Jesus said, you lose your family, sure, but you will have such a much bigger, larger family than you ever had in the natural. You will have a big family in the spiritual. You'll have houses and lands and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and relatives that you never knew before. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to travel across America and break down somewhere and just look in the telephone book, find a fellow Christian somewhere, and you know you're going to get help. Praise the Lord. Because you've got brothers and sisters all over. He said, I'll receive you. I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you. Oh, you lost your natural father? I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. I heard the testimony of a Jewish man one time who came to Christ, and his father took a stone, put it on his grave site, and disowned his son and had a funeral for him. But here he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew something about what we're trying to read between the lines, if you follow what I'm thinking. He knew something. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then down to verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, if that was on their minds, from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. How about you? Amen. You can go back if you want. You can go back home to mommy and daddy. You can go back to the television and the movie house and the cigarettes and the beer and all that. You go back then, if you want to. But you desire a better country.
Amen.
That is an heavenly. And that's why God's not ashamed to be called your God, for he hath prepared for you a city.
Hallelujah.
Brother Richie said Friday night that some people come out of Ur, but they stop at Haran. He said they just put the six-pack from the front of the refrigerator to the back. He says the Lord wants you to get all the way out of Haran too and into Canaan land. Get rid of the six-pack completely.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on out of the world. And stay out of the world. Come out of the world and stay out of the world. You know, the world is the hindrance. I was going to say the world is a hindrance. The world is the hindrance of faith. The world is the hindrance of faith. 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you know what it is that stands between us and glory? The world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, praise the Lord. We're reading about faith this morning. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end. The whole world can have and enjoy this salvation. What is faith? We hear a lot about faith. You know, what is faith? Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is taking God at his word. And that's exactly what Abraham did. He took God at his word. God promised to give Abraham a land, and God promised to give Abraham a seed. And he made that promise while Abraham was still in Chaldee. So he went out, not knowing whither he went. And God promised Abraham a son, named the son, Isaac. I'm going to call him Isaac. And Abraham waited, and waited, and waited, and waited. You're going to have a son, Abraham. Well, here he is, about 75 years old at that time, I think. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but boy, they're sure looking old. There are some ladies I see doing this, you know. Trying to get back up there. And they're working on it. Whatever else they do, you know, and what they can't help that way, they cover with other stuff. A lot of ladies do, you know. And I don't know, but Abraham was 75 years old. Surely he was starting to get wrinkled. Looked at his body. And then he was 76. God says, I'm going to have a baby. Then he's 77. Then he's 80. Then he's 85. Then he's 90. 95. 99 years old. My point is this. God made a promise to him, and Abraham waited, I think, about 25 years. My question is, this just came to me in meditation yesterday. Did Abraham and Sarah keep building up strength in preparation for the fulfillment of the promise? That's the way we want it. Oh, the answer's getting closer and closer. Brother Tamper, you know what the Lord did for me today? The answer is getting closer and closer. It wasn't that way with Abraham and Sarah. The answer was getting further and further away. They were getting older and older every day. Sarah couldn't even have a baby anymore. She was barren all her life in the first place. She needed a miracle if she was 25 years old to have a baby. Now she's 90. And she's past age. She can't produce anymore. The Bible says she's past age. Her womb was dead. Abraham's body was dead. They weren't getting stronger and stronger in preparation for the fulfillment of the promise. It was looking worse and worse and worse, more and more dismal as every day and year passed by.
Wow.
Abraham becomes more and more wrinkled. He's going around like this. Hallelujah. Sarah, we're going to have a baby. Yeah. Yeah. Sarah, God said, you're going to have a baby.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to be the father.
Praise.
Hallelujah. God said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway. And he waited, and he waited. He did this in the sight of God, who quickeneth the dead. Saints, maybe you're here this morning and you've got a problem in your life, in your body, and things look worse and worse and worse every day. Let's just believe God and not even worry about it. You know? Really? I got some problems. I'm not worried. I'm going to live till I die. You knew that, didn't you? That sounds like an oversimplification of a fact, but there's a lot of people that don't know that. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Wow! As though they were. Who can do that but God? And now Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. What does that mean? I think that means that when all appearances pointed to hopelessness, Abraham looked at it and hoped anyway. Because he looked at God. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know what gives glory to God? Believing God.
Amen.
Putting your faith into God and in His Word.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what the books say. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the experts say. The intelligentsia says. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Amen.
God said it. I believe it.
Hallelujah.
And when I believe what God says, I'm giving glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He loves it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Listen to Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She didn't have it naturally. She received it from God. And she was delivered of a child when she was past age. Just like God said. Now if you'd have met Abraham And Sarah, when he was 98 and she was 88, you know, you would have said, lock them up. I mean, they flipped, you know, it's, No, honey, did you hear Abraham and Sarah? They actually think that she's going to get pregnant and have a baby. Look at her. Look at her. We're looking back at it now after it's been fulfilled.
Amen.
Oh, man, just think. She had faith. The Bible says, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful, who had promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Abraham kept his faith and God kept his promise. It's as simple as that. Abraham kept his faith and God kept his promise. And I've got to hurry along. I want to finish this chapter. The birth of Isaac was not the end of Abraham's faith. His faith had to be tested. You'll have to read that beautiful story in Genesis chapter 22 again. And just see the parallels you see. See all the types that you see there of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Calvary. When you read the sacrifice that Abraham was to make of Isaac, his only begotten son, the Bible says. Okay, we could read Genesis 22 again. We already read it. Many of you are well acquainted with the story. It would be good to rehearse it in your mind and reread it at home. Why did Abraham say in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, I and the lad will go yonder and worship? Have you ever gone into the operating room and looked at all the scalpels, all the knives lined up on the table, and the anesthesiologist is there, and all the paraphernalia and equipment sitting there? And I've never had one of those operations. In fact, I've never been in the hospital in my life. But I mean, I've been in the building, but you know, not as a patient. But have you ever heard of anybody? I've prayed with a lot of people before they've gone in to the operating room. I've never yet heard anybody say, I'm going in, Brother Tamer, to worship, and I'll be back. Going into worship. Abraham said, I got my knife, I got the fire for the wood for the fire here. I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to put this knife into my son's body and take his life. That's what God wants. That's what God's going to get. And he said to the two behind him, the two servants, he said, you stay here. I and the lad are going up to the mount to worship. I think there's some things we need to learn about worship. So many people, boy, I'm going to worship tonight. Do I ever feel good? Oh, I had my Wheaties and my spinach and, whoa, am I going to worship tonight? I don't have an ache or a pain in my body. Abraham said, I and my boy are going up to Mount Moriah. I'm going to worship. Well, maybe I don't understand it all, but I feel it. I really feel it. Praise the Lord. And then he said, we're coming again. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had in God's word. God had said to Abraham, through your son Isaac, I will populate the earth. You'll be a father of many nations. And in your son Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and Messiah will come through your son Isaac. And then God said, after he told Abraham all of that, that meant the end of the promise, unless he kept the faith. He kept the faith. He said, well, and it's written in Hebrews 11, a
accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hallelujah. He took him up to that mountain, and he was just as willing and ready as could be. He knew that God would raise him from the dead. And God gave him credit for that. Because he says, from whence also he received him in a figure. Just think of that. Now, I want to close with a point that I have to make. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is the faith we need to be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's some pretty strong faith, isn't it? And we thought we could say, yes, I received Christ as my Savior, and go our way and light up our cigarettes and drink our booze and cheat on our wives and whatever else people do today. And we thought that's the kind of faith that's it. Oh, well, if Abraham's a father of faith, then we have to have the faith of Abraham.
Amen.
I think the Bible teaches that. In Galatians 3, 6 and 7, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I don't know. I think we could read something there that it's kind of faith like Abraham's faith. That's the faith we need. Okay, we'll finish the chapter now. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. There you have it. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed. Now, if we're saved by works, that's one thing. But if we're all saved by faith, then, saints of God, you and I are just as saved as Abraham was. Think about that. If Abraham was saved by faith and not by works, then you and I are just as saved as Abraham was. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe and stagger not at the promise through unbelief, when God says, oh, guilty sinner, I will forgive you upon your confession of sin and repentance. We can't stagger at that promise. We have to believe it. We have to say, I believe you, Lord. And then repent, confess our sins to him, and enjoy the fulfillment of the promise, his forgiveness, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Praise the Lord. Abraham left the land of idols, and we must leave the land of idols. We must leave the world. Abraham obeyed God. We must obey God. Abraham's faith was tested and he passed the test. You and I must have our faith tested and we must pass the test. My final point is Abraham did not receive the fulfillment of all the promises God made to him. He did not receive it. Listen to it here. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What about that? Let me tell you about it. Abraham received faith in Ur of the Chaldees. He obeyed God. He lived a life of faith, and then he died in faith. Oh, praise God. He died in faith. What? He died in faith. Well, he died in faith. Yes, he died in faith that every promise God ever made will be fulfilled. Listen, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Oh, I picture it this way. Here's God's book of promises to Abraham. He just took those promises, he went through life with them, and he died embracing them.
Hallelujah.
He'll be resurrected. He'll see the remainder of the fulfillment because he desired a better country. And God has that prepared for him and for all of us who live, die in faith. Praise the Lord. You know, all of us have been immensely blessed in this life.
Amen. Amen.
And God's got more and more and more and more waiting for us.
That's right.
The book of Ephesians talks about in the ages to come, he's just going to keep revealing and unfolding his truth and his revelation, his blessings to us. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, I know they're revealed to us by the Spirit now. I want to talk about that sometime. Get me excited about that. Praise the Lord. But we have been blessed on this earth, just like Abraham was blessed. We've been blessed. Now, there's more coming. Die in faith. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, they'll come from the east, and they'll come from the west, and they'll come from the north, and they'll come from the south, and they'll sit down with Abraham, and with Isaac, and with Jacob, in the kingdom of God. Just think, Abraham, the father of the faithful, we're going to sit down with him. Let's stand and worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name this day, Lord God. We would have faith in your word and give glory to God as Abraham did. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Lord, may we not have unbelief in our hearts, Lord, down in our hearts, oh God, but embrace those promises. Live in faith, die in faith, rise in faith. Praise God, believe in you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Yes, Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I praise you, Lord. I want to bring glory to you, Lord Jesus. I want to bring glory to you, Lord. Believe in your word, Lord. Staggering not at the promise of God to run to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, something came to me, oh, some time ago. I might have even preached on it. I can't remember. It's worth repeating right now. You've often heard the phrase, it's what become trite, hindsight is better than foresight. I'll challenge that statement. Hindsight may be better than foresight unless that foresight is God's prophetic word. Because everything he says is going to come to pass. You can count on it. The scripture cannot be broken. Hallelujah. He's promised us eternal life.
Hallelujah.
That's better than hindsight.
Amen.
That foresight is better. He's promised us eternal life, and we're going to have it. Praise God. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody.